Hello and welcome everyone to another episode of Monday Night Magic that almost didn't happen, but it did happen. It's a pleasant surprise. So to bring, I should be like NPR style, and to bring us this discussion this week is Brent.
Hi, I'm Brent.
Hi, he is Brent. And also here, probably pulling out at least half of his hair by this point after the pre-podcast banter, is Vincent.
Hello.
I am Vocaloid Vincent. I'm not wearing clothes.
Beep, boop, beep.
Beep, boop, beep. Oh, daddy, yes. Again, I have a whole lot of questions for Vincent about the Vocaloid subculture out there, but Vincent, why are we talking about Vocaloids besides maybe to fulfill a deep need that I have?
Because Wizards is continuing to broaden its universes beyond, because it's pairing up with Hatsune Miku for actually
open up those digital legs is what they're doing.
Four secret lairs over the next year, one for each season.
Each season of what? Like
spring.
I was thinking like financial spring. that is Chris Cox's seasons. It's financial.
We're starting with the spring to go along with the spring super drop. They even have a song related to it. Then it includes Shelter, a Godzilla to Chandra's Ignition, Harmonize, a Godzilla Azusa Lost But Seeking, and Azusa Feather the Godzilla Feather the Redeemed, and Inspiring Vantage.
Are these on their official secret layer page yet, or is this just stuff we've learned?
There's a news article for it.
On the mothership, there's an article.
That's not
secret layer. Does not have them out yet.
Crap! I went to Magic GG, which I know is not the right one. Damn you, Wizards.
Yeah, there's also helpfully. What is Hatsune Miku? If you scroll down a bit.
What is Hatsune? Is that like a sign of the end times? Is that what Hatsune Miku is?
Vince, you got to wait up. Their website's so terrible, I'm not yet to the actual article. Okay, here. Finally got to announcements. Hatsune Miku, Secret Lair. Okay.
Yeah. Inspired by the cherry blossoms and lightning of a Japanese spring.
Wait,
this
what?
This card will stun me right in my groin. Okay. Shelter Miku Spar. I'm seeing him now. Okay. What?
How long?
Okay, Vincent, I'm what is Hatsune Miku? It's telling me right now.
Yeah. It's a music software that basically, if you type in lyrics, it has a digitized voice that'll sing it.
Wait. Like you can put in any lyrics and it will sing it.
Yes.
I think I know where our theme song's gonna come from.
Never has this been abused, ever.
Yeah, like, I still don't get exactly how licensing works, because, like, you can buy the program that lets you make Hatsune Miku stuff, or the many other Vocaloid things, and then, but, like, there's clearly a group that, like, owns it and, like, can send her out on to do concert tours and stuff.
Can I get an old man Vocaloid? What kind of Vocaloids can I get? I want one that yells at me about it wants a sandwich.
How much money the Vocaloids have made, but obviously since this was made in Japan, it's unsurprising that the first ones are all cute little girls, idols, as we should call it.
I think the U.S. term is a tween. The term for what they're showing me.
There's so many things I have to ask. Does Hatsune Miku, am I allowed to just refer to her as Hatsune?
I think Miku is generally what
Miku,
it is.
Does Miku age, or has Miku always been a 16-year-old Japanese
You're
girl?
Being generous there, Brent. Thank you.
He has always been that, yes.
Okay, so Miku is immortal as a 16-year-old.
Dog years, yeah.
Okay. All right. That's a question I've had answered. Thank you for answering that question. Oh my God.
There seems to be an untapped market for elderly Vocaloids. I'm not finding much.
Why?
But I guess I feel like now with just with the reality of like the generative AI algorithms, now we, you know, now like movie stars and stuff are basically licensing their voice for, I guess, like the official Harrison Ford Vocaloid, I feel like now at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I guess this is unique because it's not based on a real person. It's like,
I don't think it is. Like it might be like, there might be a person who made it, but it's not like a famous person who like provided like the base that's been transformed. No.
Some young woman, well, she's not young anymore, trapped in a basement somewhere. That's what it's based off of, some Japanese base. Sing some more.
It's actually just a real life API to this person trapped in like room. Okay, you gotta sing. I'm not saying these words. I will not say this.
Yeah.
So he's saying words. No.
Since, like you said, Vincent, Wizards is broadening its marketing reach. Do you feel like there's anything, we were talking about my love of Austin, Minnesota, Hormel, and Spam. Do you feel there's any product that maybe they would not be willing to kind of go with?
Probably not. It should have been telling out, like, what? The first thing they tried was The Walking Dead.
What is your dream one? And I guess, I mean, even, like, in reality, so what product would you, or, I guess, brand, or whatever you want to think of it as, what would you like to see merged into, like, a sequel?
How about Magic the Gathering?
We need a bigger market, Vincent.
I mean, Final Fantasy probably isn't going to be that bad, to be honest. That's probably the one, like, of these crossovers I've been most interested in so far.
Yeah, I feel like video games seems like a natural.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what would be, like, a... Like, Final Fantasy, I feel, kind of fits maybe somewhat of the theme of... I mean, Dungeons & Dragons seem to be a pretty natural one there. I guess I could see some literature. I've always enjoyed an author called Clive Cussler. He had a... huge numbers of books about a character called Dirk Pitty. It's kind of like an Indiana Jones adjacent character, but he didn't like steal and plunder. But I think that would be, I would love to see that kind of stuff.
Maybe it's too close to it, but I think the Dresden Files, they could cross that over. I think there's a lot of books and there's a lot of lore there. And I mean, right, there's wizards, vampires, fairies, where there's the whole slew of things that they could go into with it. I think that would be a successful crossover, but it's not Vocaloid, so I don't know if they'd be all over it.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We'll see what happens. We'll have more crazy stuff. Like, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if next year we'll probably have Star Wars, to be honest, because that'll be about the time when the space set comes out.
Well, how are they going to do that? Because isn't there a separate Star Wars TCG? Isn't there another one?
It's also a separate Final Fantasy TCG.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Yeah, there's a Final Fantasy.
How about this? They should just not even ask. Like, we're going to cross over to Yu-Gi-Oh! We own Yu-Gi-Oh! Now. Oh, Pokemon! It's all ball us! It's all
fucking... We started.
Who's got more lawyers?
Yeah. I don't know. Pokemon makes a lot of... I bet they got... Pokemon's Nintendo, right? Or Nintendo is part of it? Nintendo's great with lawyers.
Yeah.
We know that.
The Pokemon company is separate. That's Nintendo. I love Nintendo, and they, the only thing they love more... They love lawyers, yes.
But then there's there was also another secret lair tease that's coming part of the spring super drop that these two have not seen yet. I'm gonna post on the Discord and see their reaction live.
It's gonna make me sad. I haven't even clicked the link. I'm just gonna be sad.
Oh, I've seen that one. Stop it. No, we're done. No, absolutely.
What?
No. That was like a joke. I was like, what are they doing? They made like their own never.
Is this real?
Yes. Why are you laughing? Wait. It's not funny, Vincent. This is not funny.
This is an actual product. This is not like a weird April Fool's mock-up.
This is an actual product they're going to have as part of the Super Drop.
Is it like supposed to be like Leet Speak? What the hell am I looking at?
Thank you.
Why notice how there are multiple misspellings as well.
It's Comic Sans.
That's what I mean.
Why are you laughing? This is not funny. No, this is not funny. That is those are legitimate. Are funny. Those, that, That is, oh my gosh.
Ouchie, Wawa, please don't cry. What am I reading? This is, okay, Wizards is going to get sued by me because they literally just took like snapshots of my MTGO chat with my opponents and put them on a card is what I'm looking at right now.
Oh. Right? Can you believe that? Can you believe that? That is an honest, I think they tried it, right? It's like a meme joke, right? With Comic Sans.
Is this going to be some sort of, if I go through and like put together all the capital or the non-capital letters, is this going to give me like a secret message? Is this like some weird ARG that they're masquerading as garbage?
It's a comic, right? It's Comic Sans and it's like that SpongeBob meme, right? Where like the letters are.
Yeah. Hailfire? What?
Yeah, that's a card.
Yeah, that's from back on the block.
I always thought it was Hellfire, I guess, to be honest. But
I just don't. I don't.
Okay.
I don't get it.
I guess it's not for me. I guess I've been told, Chris Fox told me these will not all be for me. He was correct.
he was correct.
What's worse, Hatsune Miku or this?
This is worse.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't want to get that package in the mail if I say Hatsune is worse. The Comic Sans one I really think is worse. Like, why? I just don't. It's the most valuable card out of that, right? Is the Hailfire?
I assume.
I thought that's the one, because otherwise, yeah, it's like, I just don't. I don't know.
I mean, Massacre might actually be worse something. I don't know if that's been reprinted recently.
No, me. Let's see if I can find it.
Oh, God. Oh, damn it. Scryfall already has that art. I think I saw it on the art. Or maybe not. Oh, no, secret. Yep, they do. That's why I thought I saw the secret lair drop art is on Scryfall. Damn it.
Massacre is a whopping 48 cents
from Nemesis.
Yeah, I thought it just hadn't.
Four Men of Hailfire is like, yeah, that's a $20.
Yeah. Man. I guess Massacre hasn't been reprinted since the. This is his first modern border reprint. Yeah. I guess we don't count the other. That's not even a modern.
Ruination. Yeah. Just under $6. That's last was Commander 2011.
I guess. So but I thought no one is allowed to play that in Commander anymore.
Maybe they can't. It's. Mogus. So I guess
it actually does something against non-basic lands. As we'll get to in our next topic, that's another point of contention.
What, the non-basic lands?
Non-basic land hating commander, but yeah. So if you want to get off of these secret lairs that you do not like.
Oh, I want to get off Hatsune Miku. Yes, I do.
We could. Wording. Phrasing.
Good Oxford job. Commas. That is Oxford commas clap. Matter. Yes, let's get off, comma. Hatsune Miku to a different topic.
Good job, Vincent. Stick. I like that.
So yeah, we should go to the latest chapter in the Modern Horizons 3 leak saga. If you're just joining us, 2 weeks ago we had.
Sorry. Most of you probably are.
Sorry.
Keep going, Vincent.
So 2 weeks ago we had the. Other transforming planeswalkers appear out of nowhere other than a Johnny. But then after that, the leak trickle turned into a damn monsoon as we got all kinds of different things leaked.
Full stream.
With a bunch of fuzzy pictures and stuff and cards that we weren't sure were actually part of the Modern Horizons set. Some were part of the Commander sets and they're all kinds of weird things. But then on Monday, Wizards did something that was odd. They said, like, we know all these leaks are happening. We're going to acknowledge that the leaks are happening. Then we're going to put some of them up, including some of the new ones that they hadn't put up yet. So, we have some things confirmed, like the blue counterspell flare is confirmed. The
Null Drifter.
Yeah, Null Drifter is confirmed. I think Rite of the Reliquary was part of this. I don't remember. Yep.
We've got
Capacanonir confirmed as part of Modern Horizons 3 proper, and Sylvan Safekeeper, and Meltdown. I don't remember if Meltdown was revealed when we did this.
Relatedly, I think it was on the list of the reprints, but...
Yeah. It was like, I think it might have been like just revealed as we were doing it. Like, We also got confirmed that Brainstorm is not part of Modern Horizons 3. Thank God.
Yes.
Yeah, like anything else, we got Null Elemental Blast confirmed. We got Nether Glaive confirmed. We got Final Act, which was the goodbye variant confirmed. Yeah. Then we also got a bunch of other cards that were revealed. And like some of the leaks weren't confirmed. Like the red and blue flares we never saw pictures of weren't confirmed. Like the Flip Walkers weren't confirmed. Ula Kek wasn't confirmed. So it's kind of like they kind of revealed like I think they revealed all the stuff that we weren't sure were real or not. And I guess because they assume that, like, if you care about this stuff, you know where to find it. But we're not going to reveal it because we want at least some things to reveal.
Really? Yeah.
Then unless Chris Cox has got some boudoir photos to release, I think we're going to know pretty much all Modern Horizons 3 pretty fast here.
We'll see. But I mean, the weirdest thing is, like, they revealed a bunch of cards we hadn't seen yet. Like, for example, like Chthonian Nightmare. Which seems crazy. So it's an enchantment that's one and a black. When it ETBs, you get 3 energy. Then you pay X energy, sacrifice a creature, return this card to its owner's hand. Return target creature card with mana value X from your graveyard to the battlefield. Activate only the sorcery. So yes,
I feel like this was like a new recurring nightmare. So I say that's what it made me think of.
So yeah, if you had infinite energy, it's a cheaper recurring nightmare. But obviously, you don't necessarily have infinite energy. We knew the energy was one of the themes of the set, but we thought it was going to like only be in the Jeskai colors because that's what the commander deck was. Like, we had seen like one energy card officially, then there were a couple more in the leaks. And then, but yeah, now here's a black energy card that wants you to do a bunch of stuff. So the question is, like, you can do weird things, like notably Rogue Refiner is still a card that exists, and or Whirler Virtuoso, you can loop a bunch of them if you wanted to. Is there a bunch of creatures that
build up energy? Is that the thought?
Yeah.
Build up energy and do, I guess not infinite, because you still have to pay 2 mana each time, but yeah. Like Aether Tide Whale gives you 6 energy, so you can do that, but
Magic is sapping all of my energy. Do you remember when there was a time when there weren't previews all the time? Like, you could play a set, and you had, like, a little downtime? Do you remember that?
I mean, there weren't sometimes. It's just that product they keep sending out product early, especially with this product, which they're probably sending out a lot more early because they know how well Modern Horizons 2 sold. Like, it's their biggest selling set other than Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Non-stop. The previews will never end. There's always a preview. There's always something else.
And speaking of, now we have probably one of their craziest, like, probably should be banned already cards we've had in a while, with Ugin's Labyrinth. It's a land. It has imprint. When it ETBs, you may exile a colorless card with mana value 7 or greater from your hand. Then you can tap, add colorless. If a card was exiled by Ugin's Labyrinth, add colorless instead, and you can even tap to return the exiled card to its owner's hand.
That really surprised me. Like, I'm not sure if you would do that, but I was surprised that was even like an add-on. Like, hey,
you don't even need to make it just Chromox.
Want your mascot exhibition back? Come on.
What?
Or your Mirror Enforcer.
Yeah.
Like, that's the problem. Like, obviously they want this to be like you can play it with your Null Drifters and your Eldrazi and all that kind of stuff, but there are a lot of colorless creatures with mana values, colorless cards with mana value 7 or greater. Like, you mentioned Mascot Expedition, which, for those of us who don't remember, is a 7 mana lesson from Strixhaven.
Yeah. So
you can get it out of your sideboard if you want to.
Hell yeah, that's why this is good.
I mean, I think that's just going to be more fun because you want... A lot of the power of a soul land is to put it out on turn 1 or 2, and there isn't really a way to do that. Get your lessons out on turn 1 or 2. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But, like, okay. I do think that more likely that what's going to break this is going to be Affinity, because you have both 4 Mirror Enforcer and 4 Sojourner's Companion to combo with this.
Oh, yeah, Sojourner's Companion was from Modern Horizons 2, was it not?
Yes.
Oh, what a surprise.
Turned so good it got Brandon Popper.
What a crazy thing.
Okay. I'm pulling. I feel like I know Mirren Forster. I don't know if I remember Sojourner.
It's Mirren Forster, but it has artifact land cycling for two.
Because you can't just
Cool. It's a salamander. It's an axolotl on there.
See, you got to bump it up. Got to make it a little bit better.
Is it just straight better than Mirren Forster? Yes. Besides not being a mirror? Okay, I was just about to say, but like, I don't
this. I believe my mirror typal deck would beg to differ.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say, but I don't care that much. Okay.
Yeah, we also have a crazy commander card in Urza's Cave, which is a land type Urza's Cave. So it taps for a colorless. 3-tap, sacrifice it. Search your library for a land card, put it on the battlefield, tap, then shuffle. Notice anything missing from that?
It can be, it doesn't have to be a basic.
Yes.
It can be anything.
Yeah, any land card. Yeah. Those are the days.
Especially when you got fun things like that, Planar Chaos, so you can just get all types of weird, get all my loci in place, all my locuses.
You mean Planar Bridge? I suppose we can get to that since you mentioned it.
Notably, that was Planar Nexus. Commander.
Yeah, Planar Nexus. That's what I meant. Planar Bridge is the other thing. Yeah.
Tom Craig admits it. Mark this.
Yeah. Mark that as so the first time. Numero uno.
So this is a land that's...
Sorry, Vincent. A whole lot of air horns were going off there. Just so you
know. That apparently Craig cannot hear, so we'll see if that ends up being a cool thing.
It will not. It's just for me.
Yeah. So yeah, Planar Nexus is a land. So Planar Nexus is every non-basic land type. So you can tap for a colorless or one and tap, add one mana of any color. So it's probably like the best Shimmering Grotto ever. Yeah.
It's everything. I think
it might do stuff in Legacy. Because if you remember Nearby Planet, which was a Rupture Spire that had every land type, not just every non-basic.
Yeah, not just non-basic, it was everything, yeah.
Yeah, apparently you couldn't do that in the rules, but it was probably close, as we can see since we just basically did that. But apparently it was going to be too good in Legacy, so they acorned it in Infinity. But now apparently we can just do this in... Since it's not fetchable, I guess it's going to be fine. Even though it's a one card that automatically gets your Urzatron, and it's adds a colorless source that helps your cloud posts, etc. Then of course there's other fun stuff, like it's another gate that helps.
You're all surprised that it wasn't legendary, and even with the Ugin's land, I was really surprised these weren't legendary lands.
Yeah, the Ugin's one, I'm kind of surprised. Especially I guess if they don't make legendary lands anymore, I guess that's just what it is. Even ones. Oh,
okay. I guess I did not know that.
Because they don't like the play pattern. Like, there have been barely any. I mean, I guess, Nykthos was the last big, and then, the channel lands from the new Kamigawa are legendary, but those let you use them by channeling them, I guess.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's true. We haven't had legendary land in a while.
Yeah. I think some of the backsides of the DFCs might be legendary, but I'm not even sure of that. From Ixalan.
Hey, that's a great... I have no clue, and I don't care enough to search it up. Because I don't remember any of those actual names.
Well, they're all weird. Ohers or whatever, Ogers, Ohers, they were all the gods. Those are just lands, they're not legendary.
Oh, I thought some of the other ones were.
Oh, maybe I remember. Like the Temple of Cultivation, Temple of Cyclical Time, Temple of Power, they're all just lands. But I'm trying to think of the other ones that were in that set.
I know there was, I think one was an artifact, that might be what I was thinking of, one was weird.
Yeah, was it the blue-white one or something? Darn it, hold on.
Yeah, let's see here. I suppose if I just look for lands in
Lost Caverns. Lost Caverns of Ixalan. Come on, Scryfall, keep on going.
Yeah, no. Oh, a Brass Tunnel Grinder turns into a legendary land.
Yeah, because we talked about that. That's pretty right. It's a Brass Tunnel Grinder.
Yeah. And so the reprint of Itlamok does as well. because
that's there you go. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Is the play pattern thought there is I could have the legendary creature side and also the land side? Is that why it maybe fits the play pattern?
I guess. I don't know. I mean, Mount Lazani is legendary as well, because that would be dumb. The one that transforms into the core and does like equal number of permanents in your graveyard. Yeah. Altarion's Journal is too, yeah. And so is the Myriad Pools. And so is Barracks of the Thousand. So yeah, most of the ones are, but not the gods for some reason. That is weird.
Yeah, what the heck? Just set me up for failure there.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Wizards.
And I was looking at the Scryfalls kind of list of the Modern Horizons 3 previews. And one of the images for Emrakul, the World Anew, they show as being one of the like serialized. Did we know there was going to be serialized cards, or is that something that's expected for every set?
I mean, probably we knew that. They would have. They might have said that during the first look.
Oh.
Okay.
And this is only up to 250 instead of 500? Is that new?
Yeah, that's what was. Yeah, that kind of jumped out at me a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, they've done different numbers for different things.
How long do they do 666 just to get some schools real mad at them?
Well, just know, right, the...
I mean, weren't there, like, 700 of one of the Soul Rings in Lord of the Rings?
Right, was it that the... Because they're 300 for the elves. Was it 3, 7, and 9? Right, because it was based on how many rings were given.
Like that. Yeah.
I mean, because, yeah, if there were 700, not, that would six, the 69 and 420, those are the numbers that always sell higher.
Mm-hmm.
There's data to support that.
Well, then Modern Horizons 3, there you go. But sell that set.
Because we're all... Because we're all 12-year-olds. So
let's go back to the previews, the official previews. So, what do you two think of Felia, Exuberant Shepherd? That one I've seen like some debate on.
I think it's a nice looking dog. That looks like a happy dog.
It's a happy corgi.
It looks like a happy corgi. I don't know how much of a shepherd a corgi would be. So lore wise, it might not be, but. Do you want me to read it, Vince, or you want to read it?
Yeah, you can read it.
Okay, so for one in a white, it's a 2/2. It's a legendary creature dog. It has flash. And when Felia, Exuberant Shepherd, attacks, exile up to one other target non-land permanent. At the beginning of the next end step, return that card to the battlefield under its owner control. If it entered under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Felia. It seems like that's a good boy. That's a good dog.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it seems fine for Commander, but is it actually going to be good in Modern? That's what I'm wondering.
I don't play Modern, so I do not know.
Tom, but what are your... On the horizon, if you will, it could be good.
On the horizon. Yeah,
I feel like anytime we have something that's blink, I was surprised it said permanent, not creature. I feel like there's going to be some sort of weird broken combo that's going to flop out of this. I guess you can only
do it once per turn, and it returns at the end step, so I don't think it'll do anything broken like that. Like, I'm sure you can blink expensive stuff with it, but there's a bunch of other ways you can do that in Commander anyway.
We'll make sure to mark this down, that Vincent said he doesn't think there's going to be anything broken on this. And then in the release is just over a month away, right? Yeah. Today's Cinco de Mayo. So just over a month from now, June 7th is the pre-release, correct?
Yeah, and we'll probably know the things a week beforehand.
But Vince, Brent, we were talking about earlier crossovers. What about Magic the Gathering and Taco Bell?
If Chris Cox wants to get a hold of me, I'm there for it.
I have a Null Until Blast. I want a Baja Blast. That's what I want from the Taco Bell crossover, is the Baja Blast.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Just do that like the Godzilla thing. What's the official name for that? Where they have the, you know, it's an actual card.
I don't know if there's a name. I just call it Godzilla treatment.
Godzilla treatment for Taco Bell. I think I know I'm going to work on custom magic. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
We need a Baja Blast. And I could probably do something with the Mexican pizza, Wheel of Fortune. There's unlimited possibilities
here. Well, there is. There is. But I think it's a cool card. It's a dog. It flashes in. It's a 2/2 for 2. And look how happy it is. Look, it's exuberant. Look how happy that dog is. How could you be mad at that dog? That's a good dog.
I feel like when they're like this cute, like there should be some sort of like if it dies in combat, like she penalized me, the controller, be like, dude, you killed your dog. Like you need to pay for this.
You let the dog die. What is wrong with you?
The red yeller, you know, they call it the red yeller clause. Like, you know, it's too cute. Your dog dies. There has to be some sort of negative impact.
You have to pay for it.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be a fun card. I am sure I will get one and probably do nothing great with it, but it does have a happy dog on it.
Yeah, so I should feed it to Haragast, right?
Sure.
What is wrong with you?
What card were we talking about before, like, here, enslaving humans? I'm trying to remember what card we were talking about that we thought it seemed a little maybe off flavor.
This card would be great to feed to an Eldrazi dragon, which that brings up a point. Eldrazi dragon, really? Now we're just slapping it on anything. They're like, you know what? We got a dragon in this. What do we need to do? Eldrazi. Got it. Next.
We have Spawn Gang Commander. We have the Eldrazi Goblin now. I mean, I think they just kind of
everything, said, right? Let's do it. There's going to be an Eldrazi Bear. There's going to be I don't know if there is, but I'm sure they'll throw that out.
Eldrazi
there.
Ooze. I'm trying to put
Eldrazi Ooze. They could do anything, right? That's what they did. They had the little bumps on the plate there. And they're like, man, we need to think up some more ideas. And someone did it. And they're like, Eldrazi. And they just kept going with it. And they keep shoving it down our throats. I don't know. I think that takes away from the Eldrazi. If you can make all these other things into just Eldrazi versions of themselves, doesn't that take away a little of the, like, the, not the mystique, but the identity of what the Eldrazi are? Right? They're these between worlds, otherworldly horrors. And it's like, oh, well, no, now it is. But it's a dragon, too. Because you, right? You guys like dragons. Now it's an Eldrazi dragon.
Like, I want an Eldrazi Kithkin. There we go. I want, like, an unworldly horror little guy over there.
I'm sure we'll get that eventually. We'll see what happens when we are returning to Lorwyn. Why not?
Oh my gosh. No. If we're returning to Lorwyn, we don't need the Eldrazi. The Eldrazi don't have to be all these places.
Like, they're in between the realms. They can be everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
We all know that Luda's just an Eldrazi in disguise, right?
Who?
What? No, hold. Wait. No, because isn't he Fomori? Like, he's a Fomori creation. Okay, so everybody listening, spoiler alerts, which I understand Outlaw's Thunderdruction.
I think we've uncapped that one for this episode.
We've uncapped that one. So they go into the vault, right? And all this stuff seems to be leading up to the decorations and all this, that the Fomori, remember they talked about the Fomori, which were like giants. They've only been on a few cards in Magic. Yeah. But the Fomori were involved in the Lost Caverns of Ixalan. You find out that was like an ancient civilization there. And they were called, was it the Coin Empire or whatever? That's what, what's his name? The elephant dude. How can I not remember him now? Quintorius. Quintorius was going between planes researching it. Well, then this vault that was on Thunder Junction, that was there. And then they're going to go in and they're going to assault the vault and they're going to break it open or whatever. And whatever this thing that's behind all the super secret locks and keys and traps is supposed to be this great power, or this great idea. And it's this little,
yeah, like gremlin looking little guy. Yeah.
Yeah. A little great, like loot, like I'm loot. Like it's, I don't know how to describe it. Some Magic players have taken issue with the fact that it doesn't really seem to look like a Magic. Like it's like they're, like a mascot, almost like cute. Like I'm Luke.
Looks like Have you ever seen the movie Critters or any of its subsequent? It looks like a critter to me.
It kind of looks like a critter, but I thought that was all Fomori based. Do you really think I was teasing?
I was joking.
I was like, okay. I was like, really? Because that'd be a different route for the Eldrazi. I mean, they never really do like the cute thing. But yeah, I thought it was something Fomori based. But all right, sorry for the lore tangent. I apologize. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's an Eldrazi.
I searched for more. I forgot Fomori Warrior was one of the future shifted cards where it had like that was kind of cool.
Yep. Fomori. And there was a commander, right? Wasn't there one in commander? The Ruhan of the Fomori.
Yeah.
So that's See, it's. I think we're gonna start seeing some more of the Fomori, and I think it's nice that they kind of tried to link that in, like these obscure cards.
That might be why we're going back to Lorwyn, since they have giants as one of their big tribes.
Vincent, this guy lores. This guy lores.
It's always thinking.
But anyway, Haragast erupting Nullkite is an interesting design. So it's cost 9, 6/6. It also has a merge for 6 red. So for those of you who don't remember, emerges, you may cast a spell by sacrificing a creature and paying the emerge cost reduced by that creature's mana value. So you can get it for cheap by sacrificing a creature. That's from Eldritch Moon. So okay. It's when you cast a spell, you may exile your hand if you do draw three cards. So that's a reason to play it on its own. And it flies because it's a dragon. But then each creature spell you cast has emerge. The emerge cost is equal to its mana cost. So you can sack a bunch of creatures to get stuff out for cheap. Especially stuff that's really that's full of colorless would also help.
Let me see.
Yeah, that might actually be good.
Yeah, it is a mythic. And it's an Eldrazi dragon.
Yeah.
Because dragons aren't good enough on their own, so they had to make an Eldrazi dragon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We also have a hate bear.
Hate bear? But that's not a hate bear. Kudo's not a hate bear. Kudo is king among bears.
He's like a love bear. Kudo's look at him. Bear.
Because he turns everything else into a bear.
Oh, wait, why would you say that's hatred, Vince? Yeah, I want to go into this. Why is that hate? Is there a problem with somebody being a bear?
Anti-bear.
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with this? Oh, wow.
He's trying to fight the bear mind virus, okay? He's just trying to fight the bear mind virus.
A hate bear? I mean, it looks like a cool bear. I'll give you that. It's a 2/2 for two, a green and white. It just makes everything else like itself. What is that? What's wrong with that? I'm sorry. I guess
things in modern are bigger than 2/2.
I guess equity is not high on Vincent's list, so we'll just...
Vincent, I'm just going to play... I'm just going to be playing all my...
Be good enough.
Look at me. I'm going to play my Hellkite. What is it? Hold on.
I'm going to help my Hydra deck because they're all 0/0s.
My Haragast Erupting Nelkite. Well, I'm just going to play Kodo, King Among Bears. Womp womp. Yeah, see? You still have your emerge cost on it, though, right? Because it'd just be a 2/2. It would still have the emerge, so I don't.
Yeah, and the flying.
The flying, all that, everything else gets emerged. I don't see that as hate. I don't know. I don't know.
Sounds like equality.
Yeah, I think this sounds pretty good. Are you looking at this with Elish Norn?
It's a socialist bear. There we go.
Are you looking at this with Elish Norn? So then you wipe out all their board and you have a bunch of 4/4s and you're like, wait, why did I play this card? Yeah, so I mean, if you're playing this card, right, and you play Miku the Renowned from the Secret Lair, your 3/4 Feather the Redeemed Godzilla treatment is now just a 2/2 flying bear angel.
Yeah, so if I play my Kudo kind of closet communist, I mean, that's just going to cause all types of fun gameplay interventions here.
A hate bear. Maybe not a hate bear, maybe a just indifferent bear. How about that?
So speaking of cards that make your opponents want to hate you, Orm's Chant's coming back.
Wait, what is all this hatred? Orm's Chant is a fantastic magic card.
I'm with Vincent because this card just says you get to do nothing. And that is not fun magic.
Orm's Chant on the Isochron Scepter. I remember when that found that little trick. That was all the way back. What was that?
Scepter is still legal in modern.
Yep. You'd be like, Isochron Scepter, I'm going to imprint Orm's Chant. I hate my life.
It just says you can't cast sorceries, creatures, or anything without flash.
Yeah, you're not casting anything.
I like magic now.
Maybe some of us don't like to play interactive magic. Have you ever thought about that?
I do wonder if Orm's Chant's actually going to be good and modern in 2024.
Yeah, I don't
probably think should be fine. Like, I mean, it has a combo deck. Yeah.
Can't cast spells this turn if it's kicked.
Like, Silence still exists. It still sees a little bit of play, and this is mostly better.
Yeah. Give it a chance. Give it a chance. Take all that dislike you have for Orm's Chant and funnel it into something else, like the secret layers of a Vocaloid. You know, I don't know, maybe that.
And now we get to one of the more controversial cards in the set, Winter Moon. It's an artifact. Players can't untap more than one non-basic land during their untap steps. Is it okay to play this in Commander?
Casual player Tom says, hell yeah.
Yes. Everyone will pay for this. Yes. Everyone. Look at your dual land base. Oh, I'm sorry. Womp womp. Yeah. So, what do you think, Vincent?
I mean, problem is, like, Commander is basically... There's about 1,000 cards banned that aren't actually banned, but if you play them, people will get mad at you. So, oh,
I didn't know that was a rule of Magic. You're not allowed to play cards if people get mad about it. Well,
it's the first. It's before one.
You, then that is kind of a ban, unfortunately, in a casual format.
In a casual format, this card looks like fun. I
believe the weird part is like it punishes like the average person more than it does like the super powered up person, because a super powered up person has fetches and they're gonna go and fetch basics with this, and this doesn't stop them from fetching basics on like say Blood Moon, or that Merfolk version of Magus of the Moon that we saw leaked previously.
Yeah, right. All non basic are islands.
Islands.
Yeah. No, I think this card will be fun. I'm sure at some point I'll have it played on me in a Commander game, and then I'll realize how much not fun it is. But yeah, for the time being, this gets a thumbs up. Make it all. You can still untap. You can just untap one, right? It's not like you can't untap any of them. It's just one.
And some of the older players, we all lived through Winter Orb being around forever. So it's like, hey, this is not that bad. I remember playing against Winter Orb constantly. It's like, no, this is fine.
Or back to basics.
That's even more modern, but yes.
That's even more modern. I remember the stasis decks. So if we want to talk about not fun.
Are you talking about turbo stasis? Because that was a fun deck. That was a very fun deck to play.
We have different ideas of fun. Wait, to play or to play against?
Oh, to play. Oh, yeah. The person saying you just, I'm going to untap some stuff. Nope, it's back out and play. That's too bad for you.
Yeah, that's no fun at all. But yeah, I think give it a chance. What could go wrong with it? You don't think it'll be a fun card, Vincent?
I mean, it's weird. I don't think it's going to do that much, unfortunately, because like in the competitive formats, if you can play it, people can just fetch around it. I guess it gives every color a Blood Moon, as opposed to the two that have it now.
See?
Three if you count Choke.
Yo. Well, there's something like Choke for all of them, though, right? You have Boil, right? Isn't that for...
Boil, I say remember Boil. I guess
Chokes and Boil, they don't really work. You can't really fetch around them as much.
Yeah. Well, if we're going to talk about lands, we would be amiss if we didn't discuss the newest of our snow-covered lands. And what would that be?
Snow-covered waste.
That's what Magic players asked for. They said, you know what I want? I want colorless mono generation, but I want it to also be a snow land. And Wizards said, we answered you, players.
Wizard said, we need to put colorless sources in this set for limited, so why not?
Is it just because of draft that's an uncommon, or for limited reasons that's an uncommon?
I mean, colorless isn't going to be pushed like as much as it was in Oath of the Gatewatch. So they don't need to have... If you get a common... And remember, there are more uncommons than commons these days. So, I guess...
Yeah.
They'd rather not waste one of their common slots with a land no one wants. Especially since I'm assuming
they should just rename the common lands. Does it just bother you at some... Did it hurt you, Vincent, inside, be like, no, the commons are less common than the uncommons?
But the commons are still more common because there's more of them per pack.
I hate Magic now.
Wait, but if there's more, wouldn't that make... No, because the... okay, this makes perfect sense.
Are you joking or do you actually not get it?
I'm joking. With it.
I'm in between, half and half.
I see. Yeah. It's just like, really, can we just why couldn't they just been common? I mean, it's a snow covered land. Aren't those normally common?
We haven't had like snow covered lands outside of like snow sets, because I'm assuming there's going to be no snow stuff in the set. There's just going to be colorless stuff. So like the snow cover doesn't really matter.
Yeah. But then you put in with the other ones and it makes the other snow-covered lands feel less valuable, because this one's an uncommon, right? So when I'm putting this in my little 800 count box next to the other snow-covered lands, how are they going to feel seeing an uncommon symbol on the snow-covered wastes? Right? Because wastes are just a common. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, but
wastes are common.
Only in one set. Yeah. You don't need snow covered wastes. I don't think there's any snow and colorless related stuff that works together. They just put it here because it's an interesting design.
That doesn't work.
This is one place to put it.
That doesn't work together yet. Yet.
I mean, snow takes a sizable part of the set. Colorless takes a sizable part of the set.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing, like you said, there's nothing else that's been revealed that has a deal with snow as it is, right? It's going to be, it's just the colorless aspect.
Yeah. Yeah, we know there'll be a lot of colorless. Both because of, like, the colorless Lord that we saw, and then there were other colorless things, I think, that, like, said colorless, like, a Spawn Game Commander, I believe, it does colorless, yeah, it uses colorless in its text,
And the command, or the Lord you brought up, it that heralds the end. One in a colorless for a 2/2, it's an Eldrazi drone, but being Eldrazi, it's pure value. Colorless spells with mana value 7 or greater cost 1 less to cast. Other colorless creatures you control get +1/+1. How could you go wrong with that? How'd you go wrong?
Yeah.
We've actually gone over most of the cards. No? Most. Yeah, not like, all, but most.
Yeah, like, I mean, we covered, like, the old stuff that we did. I didn't talk about those much. Like, I think, like, the only card I don't think we cover, like, I think we covered, did we cover Rite of the Reliquary? I don't remember if that was part of the first wave or not.
We just said it was in. I don't think we discussed the card itself. We just said it was in here.
Yeah, but I don't remember if we would have talked about it last week. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I wasn't here, so I don't know.
Yeah, so
I don't know.
So that we might as well talk about it. So it's a White of the Reliquary, obviously a play on Knight of the Reliquary. So it's a black and a green for a zombie knight, a 2/2. It has vigilance. It gets +1/+1 for each creature card in your graveyard. You can tap it to sack another creature, search your library for a land, put it on the battlefield tapped, and shuffle. Mm-hmm. They just push it.
See,
I think it looks like a fun card.
Yeah, I mean, it seems probably fine, except that all these cards all suck whenever they actually get played, because they're just stats, and if they do become a problem, then there's graveyard hate.
I'm trying to think how to ask my question here. So the reason that you would be less excited for this type of design is just that even though it's super pushed and powerful, that there's still so many answers to the.
It's never good enough.
Okay.
Like, Souls of the Lost should be insane, but it's not good enough. Like, Nethergoyf is probably going to be fine, but it's way less good than you think it is.
Well, I don't...
strategy never works.
You sound like someone that's a pro-graveyard.
Yeah, so the problem is, like, that killing graveyards is free in Modern Magic. Not even just like, Modern, like... Things like Unlicensed Hearse have basically no cost to put in the deck. That's ignoring like the.
And that card is fun. I'm sorry. It's fun to get stuff out of the grave. You're like, bing, bing, bing. There you go. Take that out. Yeah.
Like, you can easily put in a random Relic of Progenitus. And if you need to, you have the nuclear options of Rest in Peace and Leyline of the Void.
I mean, I don't know if you're trying to talk me out of graveyard hate or if you're just like pushing me towards.
I'm trying to talk you out of playing things that rely on the graveyard that don't automatically win stuff like Dredge.
I always say Paulo Kranos, but what about my Paulo Kranos?
I don't play Dredge, so friends don't let friends play Dredge, so I don't play Dredge, so that's fine. And yes, I do have this in. I had this in a sideboard. For a Modern deck against my friend that plays Dredge. Hoping I could get it out before the Dredge deck just puke its contents everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I guess, Vincent, from a sky high view, what are you feeling? Positive about Modern Horizons? Perhaps we don't know everything, but I mean, are you feeling like, yay, meh? This is going to ruin things?
I think it's not as broken as Modern Horizons 2 was. I'm not seeing anything that's on the level of the Pitch Elementals except for probably Ugin's Labyrinth. That's a massive mistake. And then Urza's Cave is probably a mistake for Commander, but that's less of a deal. Yeah.
Do you think Moldrifter is being another pitch, kind of, I'll say a pitch elemental, does that one feel less problematic? That still draws cards?
That's
and
not really a pitch elemental because it's not free to pitch.
I guess.
Yeah, like it's 3 mana. That's about, might as well be a million in Modern for this stuff. Like, I'm sure, like, they'll, it might be worth trying to put a deck together where you evoke it and ephemerate it to draw 4 cards and have a 4/4 annihilate 1.
But not quite as much as a free pitch elemental first turn getting that
especially
ability
you
twice.
Can still do it on turn 3 because they put a soul land into Modern for some dumb reason. I guess you have 8 soul lands because you still have Eldrazi Temple, even if they probably aren't going to unban Eye of Ugin anytime soon for obvious reasons.
How many cards in Modern are train themed? Can I make a soul train deck?
I don't know. Let's look up nothing
there. Okay.
Let's look up train. Bloodshot.
Soul train.
Soul.
Just to say that, then I'll concede.
That's the great train heist. That's in the new. That's in Outlaws of Thunder Junction. That has train in it, so you got that. And isn't there? I'm looking up some more. There's
that rail, train. The mine cart. I guess I could kind of.
Yeah, there's.
There's locomotives.
Yeah, see. Vincent's on board with this.
Okay, Vincent's in. Okay, cool.
Yeah, he's in. Sure. He's in.
But anyway, now what? Should Brent and I talk about how much we suck at live drafts this week?
I'm gonna take some notes. I haven't tried it yet, but I will do my own losing soon. Now that the quick drafts are up.
Oh, quick drafts I did okay. Quick drafts I did decent because they're
bots. I don't do live drafts anymore. Yeah. I don't do live drafts.
I did a live draft last night. I apologized to all my opponents because I had quite possibly the worst deck I could have ever played. I don't know what I did. There were only 2 games the entire night I didn't have to mulligan, and sometimes I had to mulligan multiple times.
What?
So, yeah, it was... I'm not... I don't know what I'm missing. It's fun. I like the set.
Like, what colors were you? And what was your first pick, or what?
Oh, you want to... I mean, I don't have tons of time, but I was green-white, and my first pick was a Railway Brawler. Pick one, pack one.
Yeah.
So I was like, sweet, I'm on this. And then I got some decent white cards. I got some buried in the garden. I got a couple buried in the gardens. That was the second pack. But I was like, yeah, no other like stellar rares or, you know, pulls. What's that one? Thrown from the Saddle. I got Thrown from the Saddle. Yeah. So I was getting some removal spells, all that. And just, yeah, nothing. Nothing worked out for me at all.
Yeah. I had a similar thing. I was green, white, splashing red. But the problem is that like almost everyone at the table was green. Like I first picked a Primal Knight, saw a couple decent green cards. Like second pack, I took a dragon, somehow tabled like the sharpshooter, the guy that like shocks something when you plot it. Somehow tabled that. So like presumably I was supposed to be in red. I think I wasn't supposed to be in green, but like I deck was a mess. I won 2, but that's only because I got the buy-in round 1. Yeah.
Is that just because you think it's is it just a more challenging limited format? Is it maybe just it's not a good limited format?
Not horrible, but I do think that it's bomby. Like one of the games I lost was against Bonnie Paul, because of course.
Dog barfing. That might be a new one for why somebody had to leave a podcast. I like that. So, Vince and I are going to wrap up. Brent is attending to some dog gastrointestinal issues.
Yeah.
So kind of bombing, which I know is always challenges with. Is this something that might be different because of play boosters, or do you think it's more just the set itself?
It's definitely bombing, like is play boosters and the proliferation of bonus sheets. Like, if like you can get 5 rares in a pack these days. Like one of my rares was a random foil Contagion Engine. And I'm still not sure it was the right pick because I had the red guy that makes outlaws and like sacks outlaws to like do something that was really good. That's a rare, but I don't remember what it's called. yeah, like that was in the pack as well. Like that was a really good pack. Like, I got lassoed by the law as well. But yeah, I took the foil mythic probably because part of me realized that that deck was a mess. Yeah.
I guess how much is a foil contagion engine?
I'm looking up.
Yeah, this is what the extra sheets are so big.
One's like $450 according to this. Let's see what they say. Yes, you can proceed. Apparently, like the non-foil one's $4, and I had no clue what the foil one's worth.
So that's the breaking news.
Oh, $450. So maybe like $5, counting the shipping. So okay.
Yeah. Boy, I feel like that would make it, that makes it a lot harder for me as like a very casual player for doing any limited draft, let alone like a live one, when there's all these, you know, extra special sets where it's just like, I had no idea.
Yeah, there's just so many cards to come out. You can see. Like Marshall was talking about like, did you see like, what do you think of this card in limited? And like, he doesn't know what it is because it's off like the big score or something and you rarely see it.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't know. Didn't know that card really existed until right now. So I guess hopefully that will be better because I know Thunder Junction being a little bit of a off one because of the whole aftermath.
Yeah, being
kind of rolled in.
That certainly didn't help. Mostly because like there's a big gap between the stuff on the big score. Like you can get a Rest in Peace or you can get a Bristle Bud Farmer or or you can get a Hostile Investigator or a Territory Forge, yeah.
Is it bad enough that you're like, hey, I'm kind of done with drafting this format? Or is this something you want to keep kind of pushing it with?
I haven't had like a great string of run of drafts the past week, so I've just like been doing other things instead. Yeah.
Who'd be playing Mini Shoot Adventure, which is a phenomenal indie game.
I know I should be. That thing, the demo was great, but... like for some reason,
solid five hours into that thing. Now like this. I can't. This game. I don't think it's good, but I can't stop playing this game.
The game is good.
It's a twin stick shooter. It's weird.
It's a Zelda.
It's Zelda like.
Yeah,
but a twin stick shooter makes it so much more fun, and I'm just shooting stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it runs great than on
what I've been playing. I've been playing a lot of Let's Build a Zoo on Game Pass, which is just like a sim zoo builder. That's fine. Takes a long time to do anything, so like I just put it on whenever like I'm listening to something or I'm waiting for something.
Is there a reason you're making yourself play Let's Build a Zoo if it's on Game Pass?
I don't know. Like, I mean, it's, I wanted to feel like I'm doing something, and like I'm assuming that eventually I'll get to like the actual interesting part of the game, because it seems like there's a lot of waiting and it takes forever, and managing your 500 rabbits who keep breeding themselves to overpopulating your pens, and I mean, like I finally completed their genome so I can start culling them. Yeah.
It sounds like you're ready to maybe play some Manor Lords where you can start breeding your immortal sheep that will overtake your entire city.
Yeah, like a bunch of other stuff on Game Pass I should be playing. Like I still want to play Sea of Stars, but like that takes effort. It doesn't take effort to play Let's Build a Zoo.
All right. Yeah. So yeah, Mini Shoot Adventure has been my 30-minute night gaming for
fun. Yeah. Which is pretty good.
I have no idea what's happening in it because nothing really talks, basically. They just make weird little beeping sounds and hearts at each other. Okay. I rescued you. You're safe now.
That's good.
You're safe now. Between this and Balatro, I don't need any other games for the rest of my life. We're all cool now. All right, Vincent. Well, I will. Hopefully, by the time we podcast next week, I'll have done at least some quick draft Thunder Junction. I will never do a live draft or the premium drafts. This is never going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'll try a quick draft and see how poorly I do. And Brent is back. He's not visibly covered with dog vomit, so...
I'm back. I'm sorry.
No,
my son
we have animals.
He did a really good job of trying not to interrupt, but then he just like... Yeah, he messaged me. I'm like, I have to go get this. It's not good. It's not pretty. My dog recently started
Here, this is not magic related, but we did talk about dogs.
Does it have worms?
No.
Does it have worms? Okay.
My dog basically is going through liver failure. So he is on multiple new medications. He's on medications after being on none basically his entire life, other than, you know, the regular meds, like heartworm meds.
Like lactulose and stuff?
Oh, no. Like he's on cyclosporin modified. He's on anti-rejection drugs. For basically autoimmune, ursodiol for his bile acid sequestration. What else? He's on D-penicillamine as a copper chelating agent. He's on all sorts of. Now he has Zofran for nausea and vomiting and appetite stimulation. So I'm sorry, my poor boy is just going through.
Poor dog, yeah.
Yeah, so he's. So sometimes, bless his heart, being a good boy, he doesn't want to get sick in front of people and he goes. Hide, so I'm sorry. But I will say that experience was probably more enjoyable than anybody that had to play against me last night in the draft, because I had a giant. It was just, I don't know what I was doing. Like it, this four. I know you guys were talking about OTJ the draft, right? That's what we're talking. Like it seems it really is. Are we going back to the bread? Remember that acronym? Bombs, removal, evasion, anger. It almost seems like that, because you'd play against someone, and I had Railway Brawler. That's a great bomb. Like, I would top five of the set easily. But then your opponent throws down, was it Bonnie Paul? Is that the one? Bonnie Pale? Yeah. That gets thrown down. Or one of their, you know, four or five different rares. And they're just throwing, I'm like, what on earth? It almost seems like going two colors just doesn't, I couldn't get it to work for me. Versus opponents who are doing two and then splashing a third, it just seemed like it was a symphony of magic just coming out. Just worked beautifully.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you said you had multiple buried in the garden, so that should make it easy to splash.
It should. Yeah, you're right. It should. Yeah. You have to draw the buried in the gardens, though. I know I've only been playing Magic for, you know, like almost 30 years, but I realized you have to draw the card to be able to play the card. And so, yeah. I think I had two games the entire night that I ever even got that card. I was like, yeah, I wasn't drawing removal. And said two games, I didn't even mulligan the entire night. And it wasn't just like a one mulligan. I had multiple mulligans where I was at five or had to, like, at five, I was like, I can't keep going down. Like, it just, I don't know what I was doing. And, you know, I was running 17 lands. The top of my curve was, it was six, and then I dropped it down to five drop. So I was like, yeah, it's me. I like the set. I think it's fun to play. I apologize for my opponents for having such a horrible deck to a non games to play against me.
Yeah.
They deserve better.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. I had to look up. I forgot that the buried was in the breaking news. I was like, I swear to God, that was in a different set, but
it was in the breaking news.
It was in the last set. You're correct.
You know, so it's like, wait, what? I forgot about the breaking news. So
yep. It's back. It's breaking news. And that's why I said, I really felt like I had one in pack two and then pack three. I was like, great. But as Vincent had brought up at the end of the night, after, you know, as we're playing against each other and talking, I think there were only out of the eight of us, I think there were only three players who didn't have any green, like the amount of green that was going around. And I thought I was green, white. Like, I really thought I was going to be green, white. I passed a Miriam and I took a Congregation Griffin over, the one green white Congregation Hippogriff or whatever, the flyer that gets plus, you know, flying lifelink and it gets plus X when you attack while it's saddled. X is number of mounts you control. I had a couple extra mounts. I had Fortune Loyal Steed, the rare one. I had Grizzly Drover. I had some mounts. I suck. I'm sorry to my opponents. It was a pile of just, I don't know what I was doing wrong. And I feel like if you're not getting the third color, maybe that's what I'm not doing right. Like, I'm not splashing in. I had deserts, but I just really didn't feel like I could splash anything in that would have added value to the deck. But my opponents I played against, I was hard pressed to find. I know there was two other people out of our pot of eight that were just straight up two color. Everybody else was splat. They were throwing something else.
Yeah, like if you get a solid two color deck with enough power, it's best. But if you don't, it's easy to splash, especially if you're in green.
Yep. So I suck.
Aww.
Yep. That's all. It's not a pity party.
It's okay.
I suck. I felt bad. Yeah.
Still thinking about my Baja Blast there, Brent. I'm sorry. I'm going to cast a Baja Blast.
I mean,
what color? Blue green? What color should a Baja Blast spell be?
I think it would have to be a blue green, even though it's not exactly my favorite color pair. But I mean, just looking at the color of the drink, I would argue that's it. You know, and it is. I want to point out Cinco de Mayo, and if you have the app, Taco Bell app, $5 for $5 tacos today. You can't beat $1 a taco. That's
some dark times in high school there.
What'd you say, Vincent?
You have to eat a Taco Bell taco.
Okay, Vincent.
I eat a Taco Bell taco 5 days a week, Vincent.
This is okay. Oh my gosh, I'm almost out of time. Even after cleaning up dog vomit, I am almost out of time.
Yeah, his yums got yucked, and he's gonna go balm his soul with the Taco Bell taco.
Wow, I can't believe this. We've had the bear hate from Vincent. Now we've had the Taco Bell hate. I feel like, am I in the wrong podcast? Is Ben Shapiro going to pop in here? What's happening? I'm joking. I'm just joking.
About a new
I'm
stock. Joking.
I'm joking. It's a completely joke.
I just watched the correspondence dinner.
At least you're the one who brought up politics. I almost brought up politics earlier.
That was my fault. It was my fault. I was joking. I was joking about hate. I apologize. I apologize. I should not have brought that up. I'm sorry. I get emotional about Taco Bell. It's near and dear to my heart. It's near and dear to my heart.
So if you want to discuss maybe more Taco Bell or maybe political discourse, you can join us on the Discord for 40 Life Podcast. And yeah, we'll probably find us on Twitter, again, Discord. You can search for Monday Night Magic on pretty much any podcast network to download it. And if you enjoy it, tell a friend. If you don't, still tell a friend.
Still tell a friend. Yeah, we're going to break 30. We're going to break 30 downloads for an episode.
I have not looked for a while. We could have. I don't know. Oh. But I will assume we have.
Yeah.
But yeah. But yes, join us next week for probably... do you think we're going to have like double the number of Modern Horizon 3 cards? Like, since the faucet seems to be on and is now just going to get more, I have to assume.
I mean, there were some we didn't cover, random commander stuff, but so we'll have something, but I doubt it. We'll need to cover them. But yeah, we'll probably have the full Secret Lair Super Drop to see if there's anything else that'll make you too angry.
It didn't mean
there's always, as Bruce Banner would say, I'm always angry.
Yeah. I'm always angry. Yeah, wait until you're married and kids. Yeah, you're always angry.
It's the world's longest. I call it the passive. It's like the passive aggressive Cold War is when you get married. It's like, nope. It's like quiet for a bit. I think Brent's wife actually cut off his internet right there. He literally said, "Oh no!" After I said that, his internet connection stopped.
But yeah, I think that's a cue that we should be wrapping things up.
That could not have been timed better than him looking scared off camera after I said that, and then his internet stopping. It is pretty good.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, he's back. No, Brent, literally, I literally said that. You're like, oh no, you looked off, and then your internet froze.
You know, I have to do the, you know, blink twice if you're okay.
Mm-hmm. Proof of life. Show me a newspaper with today's date on it, please. Yeah, how do you have proof of life now with like the generative algorithms? Like, I feel like that could easily be faked. You know, already they're vocaloiding me. Anything you want.
Thank you guys for talking about magic and making me laugh.
The conspiracy theories also on the 40 Life Podcast. So, yeah, join us next week. Talk to you later.